going to start now, folks. Thank you.
I like your loud voice. Welcome to the April 27th special session of the Port of Kingston Commission. Comments from those in attendance will be allowed upon recognition by the chair, and what we'll be asking people to do is to come and stand up here so that people at home can get you through the technology. We also appreciate it if you would identify yourself before you begin your comments so that we, again, have that on the record. If you'd like to be added to the agenda for a future meeting, then please contact the port office, no problem, at least 1 week prior to the time when you'd like to appear. And please schedule your, submit your documents and or presentations at that time. So I'd like to begin the meeting with a call to order at, 6:32? Mm-hmm. And you all stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Flags here.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. So we have to do a few things for our standard meeting process. First of all, I need a motion to approve the agenda.
Make a motion to approve the agenda as written.
I'll second that.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye. Aye.
All right. And then basically we move to the discussion time. And we're going to be talking today about commercial development on the port property. And I'd like to begin by asking our director, Greg Englund, to describe the context in which we're working.
Hi, good evening, everybody, and it's great to see so many more people here this week. Thanks for coming out. So tonight we're here to listen to Charlie Wenslaw and Sean Parker, which is the architectural firm that we hired in order to be able to do due diligence on the commercial development for the port property. So tonight I'm here to talk about commercial development, and I'd like to introduce Charlie Wenslaw and Sean Parker. They're the architect. Charlie Wenslaw is Wenslaw Architects. That's the architectural firm that we hired to do design and planning on the property. As a way of introduction, I thought I would anticipate some of the questions that you all have. So I think the first one is, why is the port undertaking this effort? So the purpose of ports is economic development. Economic development includes terminals for transportation and the movement of cargo, which can take the form of freight or people. Ports often provide facilities and infrastructure that promote tourism. They also are involved in job creation and public access. And usually you can see the, if you look through the RCWs, the state law, it states out what ports do as a rule. Examples of this also are everywhere, up and down the coast, from Port of Bellingham to Port of Anacortes, Port of Seattle, Port of Kalama, and Port of Camas, Washougal, to name a few. So Kingston has seen a steady decline, and many buildings have been lost and not rebuilt. The loss of these buildings has contributed and is also symptomatic the economic decline in Kingston. With this effort, we're trying to change that trend and spark economic development in Kingston. We know that hotels and restaurants help promote economic development. We do not see or hear private landowners investing in commercial development very much. Primarily, their focus is on residential. Ports normally don't engage in residential development, but they can if there's a special finding. So what's different about this effort from previous efforts? There have been a number of start stops, and previous efforts have never made it out of the planning stage. Previous efforts have not moved forward, partly because of other economic opportunities, such as development of the fast ferry, followed by ferry traffic solutions, which were a higher priority that were set by both the public Also, we have limited financial resources, and then timing is an important consideration. So we went through the 09 financial crisis, and then we went through a three-year pandemic, and it's pretty clear at this point that something needs to be done, or we're going to see continual decline. So it's a matter of political will, financial capacity, and timing of economic issues that are creating some of the challenges that we've had to overcome. What else is different? We are already out of the planning stage and into the design and permitting stage, and that's why we retain an architectural firm. We're also conducting our own due diligence with respect to exploring sources of funding. The port recently completed a three-year state audit and had no findings. And I'd like to recognize we have our finance director here and our financial analyst, and they were integral in going back and actually going back over 5 years in order to be able to get all the reconciliations done. So I want to tip my hat to them. The port, after this audit, we're required to do, well, we have to do that audit in order to be able to go out and get any sort of money alternatives whatsoever. So if you don't have an audit financial, you're not going to be able to go out. So we had to have that, so we just completed that. And so now we're in a position where we can actually go to the market, and if we want to do bonding or any other alternatives, we can do so. So our goal with this whole effort is to develop a probably 20% design and then go to the market to gauge interest. Also, we want to get the site to the point where it is ready to build. We need predictability to attract investment in Kingston. So schedule. With respect to the timeline, we will see development in 2 to 3 years at the earliest. I provided different estimates before, and I was wrong and too optimistic. How much will it cost? We have a ballpark estimate of $20 million or more if we do the full build-out for just these buildings. We are exploring all options from 100% publicly funded, which would be like a land lease, to a private sector entity developing the site. We will be presenting these alternatives to the Port Commission in the future. We will have another meeting in October where we will provide an update on all due diligence. We need to complete all site development in advance of that meeting, and we are in the process of doing that, which is part of the effort going forward. We had the property down below towards Mike Walls Park. We had to get it rezoned. Also, the other properties, which are referred to commonly as the Top of Hill properties, we had to submit to the rezone because they're currently zoned residential. So if we wanted to do anything with those properties as we went through the planning phase, we couldn't really do anything with them because they're not correctly zoned and it was never changed in the zoning. And believe it or not, actually the parking lot, a big portion of that parking lot was also zoned residential, is currently zoned residential until it gets rezoned, which we've already put in the application. So the county, if you look at the two alternatives, or the three alternatives, but the two alternatives, which is in status quo, they actually highlight that and they show it as being rezoned to UBC from residential. And so we'll be looking again at, we'll vet all financing alternatives and present that to the Port Commission, and then we will meet with the county and conduct a pre-consultation meeting address any of their concerns. And with that, I'll turn the floor over to Charlie Lenslaw.
Great.
Before you get into it, Charlie, I'll just make a few comments. We always talk about economic development. That's what's written in the law. But I want to tell you that about 2 or 3 years ago, we had a conversation among the port commissioners about the fact that we really believe that economic vitality and community vitality are inextricably linked, and that community vitality is the ultimate goal. And so I wanted to let you know that your comments and your reactions to this design and this concept are extremely important to us. And what you're going to see tonight is not a finished product. You're going to see one stage in a design evolution. You'll also note, I think, I sure did when I first looked at it, that it looked like a lot of white and glass. But in fact, the finishes aren't on there. The touches that make this feel like Kingston aren't there yet. We'll be looking for your reactions to all of that. We went around and interviewed the commissioners, quite a number of people, 40, 50 people in Kingston, and basically said, what do you think is the best that could happen? What's the worst that could happen? What are you afraid of? And I know the interviews I did, the message I heard was, do something now. We need it now. Because the decline hasn't just been in the last 10 years, it's been ever since they zoned George's Corner, the Safeway shopping center, and started attracting convenience shoppers away from downtown. It's been a long process. We need to stop it, and we believe this can help. So your comments tonight matter tremendously. With that, I'll turn it over to Charlie.
Good, thank you. Again, my name is Charlie Winslow, and I'm working with Sean Parker, and we've been working on the project just about a year right now, and we're in the planning stages. This is a really important project for the community, and it's important for the ports, and it's really important as a project for my firm to be involved with. This is a really it's a landmark project. It's going to have a big impact on the look and feel of Kingston, and I just can't emphasize enough how seriously we take that opportunity. I mean, that's what this is all about. When we start a project like this, before we start drawing any buildings, we spend a lot of time learning about discussions that have happened in the community over the last couple of years, understanding kind of where the community is in the process, preferences, also understanding how this project should fit into the community. We don't just look at the site we're working with, we really look quite a ways beyond it, because this is one piece of many pieces that are going to happen over the next 15 or 20 years, and Kingston will change and grow, and we want to make sure that this sets a really good example for that. One other thing I want to emphasize too, when we draw the, so we started our process off designing the outdoor spaces, thinking about everything kind of except the building. We really wanted to understand all the spaces around the site, and I'll talk more about this, but you know, it's connected to the ferry terminal, it's connected to downtown, it's connected to the marina. There's so many forces and factors around this site. So it's kind of exposed on all its edges. And as we began to understand that, and I'll walk you through this process, because I want you to see the process we went through. Then we began to look at the building. And the computer drawings make it look like it's a photo we took of a finished building. This is the early stages, and you know, we'll be very interested to hear your comments to help us understand how we continue forward. Couple of other things I just wanted to say. This is the same presentation virtually that we did last week. So for you, those of you that were here before, I know there's a couple, it's going to be pretty similar. I also wanted to say that where we are in the process is we're concluding kind of our very initial planning stages, and what this means for us in a month, maybe 2 months, we will then meet with the county, and the county will have its first chance, the planning department, to look at the work, see how it fits and supports the codes, let us see if we're on the right path. So we haven't done that yet. And as part of that process, we're going to be collecting more information. I know there's concerns, and we'll have some comments tonight about traffic, for example. We have to hire a traffic consultant. We have hired one. They haven't started yet, but that's absolutely something we have to understand. And We'll also be doing environmental analysis because we're going to be working along the shoreline, which there's a lot of rules you have to follow to make sure we're not harming the environment building in proximity to the shoreline. So with that, I'll start the slides. It'll probably take me about 15 minutes to go through them. And once we're done, then we'll talk for a while. Everybody can make the comments. So,
and if everyone could save any questions you have, you know, and we'll have plenty of opportunity at the end when the presentation's over for comments. And again, as Mary had said, some people are new, but if you could kind of come up to the front, tell us your name, and then provide your comment, and we're going to get that in the record then.
And you may want to face us, you may want to face the audience, or you may want to kind of move around. It's up to you.
Can everyone hear me okay? I'm trying to talk loud enough.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Excuse me. Would it help to turn off the lights?
I think that first light we can turn off.
Yeah. You know what I mean? There's a lot of...
There's actual natural light.
We can get that now.
It's not raining out.
Right here.
Hey, before you get any further, may we have an introduction of the people that we're facing here?
Oh, absolutely.
We have an introduction from the designer. If we could get the others.
Yeah, we all know who I am. Matt Gray.
I think.
So Greg England, Executive Director of the Port of Kingston.
Mary McClure, Commissioner of the Port of Kingston and this year's Chair of the Commission.
Laura Brunball, Commissioner of Port of Kingston.
And I'm Steve Heacock, Commissioner of Port of Kingston, District 1.
Chris Williams, I'm the Administrative Services Manager at the port.
And that's Sean Parker, architect over there. And Max, expert slide putter. And by the way, just so you know, what we'll do is we're collating all the comments, this is available on our website, all the comments will be collated, and so you'll be able to see everybody's comments on the website. We'll put them into like a unfiltered, within reason, on the website. And so that everybody will see it. We haven't collated all the comments from last time, but I do want to, so if you send them to me or to any staff member, to Chris, we also share all those comments, then we share them with the commission. So they see all the comments, they'll see everything. If you post it to social media, we won't comment on social media because we can't control the Open Public Meetings Act compliance. So that's one of the reasons why I usually don't see any county government or state. They don't go into social media and reply. So it's great if you have a comment, just send it directly to us, or if you're willing to copy it or take a screen cap and email it to me, and I will, and it will get included in the collation, so you'll see everybody's comments.
Also, the recording will be live on the website tomorrow, as well as last week's is already out there. So it is on the link on the website.
Is your contact information somewhere, like a little flyers or cards or anything?
And it's right on the website. So it has actually on the, if you look on the very front landing page, it'll have contact information, email for you to click on this.
Okay, nothing here. Okay.
Yeah.
And the website's super easy, portofkingston.org. So we're not a com.
Greg E.
Don't go to Jamaica. There's another
at portofkingston.org.
Thank you. So, Greg, when you collate all the comments, are you going to identify who said each thing?
Yes. And all the comments will be shared with all three commissioners, and we do that separately to avoid any issues with compliance with Public Records Act.
Everybody thinks government is real simple, right? Okay, well, with that, Greg is going to start with a comment that he received by email, which is since last week, that he wanted to share.
Okay, I'll read this in. So there's a public comment period. We always have two public comment periods, just so you know. One at the very beginning, and then one at the end of the public meeting. So,
Greg, I'm sorry. Do you want to wait until after we've done the presentation?
Well, we do have a public comment period on the agenda, so yeah. this will serve for that for now.
Kind of
if you want,
puts everybody's head into that.
Okay, well,
let's just wait until after we've had a chance.
That'll be easier. That's a good idea.
Sorry. That's okay. It's kind of disappointing.
Okay. So, how many people recognize this slide? That's the picture of the restaurant. And this was located right where the new building is proposed. So somebody found this old photo, which is kind of cool. Next slide, please. So here we are overlooking Kingston, and you can see the marina in the foreground, and dashed in that white dashed line is the area that we're going to be looking at a lot of different pictures of that area of the property. Next slide. So again, a straight overhead view. And just for orientation, I think you can see the ferry loading is to the right. Downtown is the upper part of the slide. Balance of the site is the surface parking, and then that kind of park area, like Wallace Park, etc.
Is that the whole park, or?
You'll see more slides.
Okay.
It'll become clear. So one of the things that we've been looking at, and probably many of you are aware of this, there have been multiple planning efforts related to downtown Kingston. One of these efforts is called the Complete Streets Report. And in essence, what they're looking at is how to make downtown Old Town more pedestrian friendly. So how do you improve sidewalk, pedestrian facilities, a whole variety of factors that will enhance Kingston over time to make it a much more pedestrian-oriented downtown. So that's something that we're certainly bringing as a value set to the work we're doing and making sure this new project ties in and supports all that. Next slide. So just another slide, more details of potentially some new sidewalk facilities happening over time in the future. One of the other things that is tied into the Complete Streets concept is also tied into the State Route 104 realignment. How many of you are aware of that concept? Okay, so it's a pretty known thing in the community. So if and when State Route 104 gets shifted off of Main Street, then where the toll booths currently are may become a transit drop-off facility. So again, this is something that could be happening right next to the project. So another consideration as we try and plan for future changes around the project. This is a slide of the realignment. Again, I think the most significant factor is that Main Street would no longer be the primary thoroughfare down to the ferry and potentially could be brought back as more of a community-based pedestrian Main Street and put the traffic over on First to the east. Another thing that happened, there have been lots and lots of meetings. The Kingston Stakeholders Group, there have been preference surveys done within the community. Some of you may have participated in these. This is something they call a word cloud. You guys may have done these where you put stuff in and the word gets bigger and bigger with the more people that comment or put that idea forward. What's important here is that the uses that we're looking at, which are, just to oversimplify, are the restaurant and a hotel, very much came forward from those comments from the community, and they also serve to support the notion of economic stimulation for the downtown as well. And we can talk about that more later when we do question and answer. But the point is there's been a lot of input from the community over the last couple of years. We're looking at that, and we're building from that input. Another thing too, and I know we're going to talk about this a lot tonight, so you can have at it with your comments, is the character of the buildings. And Kingston has design guidelines. They do encourage pretty traditional look and feel of architecture. So we will not get a project approved unless it complies with the Kingston design guidelines. So that's something we are going to continue to refine and work with as we develop the building design. Another thing that happened recently, and I like to explain the zoning because I think a lot of times people don't understand what the rules are, why we're doing what we're doing. The port property, and I'm just going to stand up here to point just for a second, which is down here. This previously was not the purple color. Purple represents UVC zoning, which was set up for the rest of the Old Town area. It now is part of the UVC zoning. So just to put it really simply, it means it encourages mixed-use development. It allows the same height limits, which is up to 45 feet, which is four stories. So it's now consolidated with the rest of the planning downtown. Next. So now I'm going to show you a couple of site, as we study the planning for the site and start to think about different factors that affect the design. So again, the red box is our study area that we're doing the building within and some other improvements. The bigger black boundary is the port property. So we're not planning the whole port property, we're just doing a piece of it. Next. So this shows you where the green spaces are currently within the total port property, the undeveloped land upland, the kind of park edge along the marina, Mike Wallace Park, and the park, I forget, what's the name of the little park by the great place? The
Kiwanis
Park. Yeah. So again, these are all assets within this property that we want to strengthen, reinforce, help connect. Next slide. Another thing I mentioned earlier is we're within the shoreline zone. And there's a lot of rules that we have to comply with. There's mitigation requirements. We're trying even now to start thinking about how we might approach responding to those factors, but just that's an important part of the project design. Next. This has been a really important thing as we started on this. We know that Mike Wallace Park is a huge amenity to the community. There's a lot of stuff that happens there. And we want to be very careful about how we work around and adjacent to Mike Wallace Park. So the important thing we're trying to show in this slide is that we intend in this concept to expand the park area itself. So the dark green represents expanding Mike Wallace Park from 1.5 acres to 2 acres. So the goal is to make the park bigger as a result of this. Go from park to parking. The site right now, it's almost all parking. And that parking serves a lot of purposes. A whole variety of users are listed on the right side. Commuters, people using the marina, people visiting downtown, etc. Right now, I think there's about 300 parking places. So as we build this new building and do some things around the park, about a third of those parking stalls, they aren't going to disappear, but they're going to get reassigned to support the new building. When you build a new building, it has to have parking. I think you're all familiar with that, to support either the hotel, patrons to the restaurant. So we're basically taking about just shy of 100 spaces in that sort of purplish box. Those are going to be related to the proposed development. The yellow is what's being retained that currently exists, which is over 200 spaces. And we're showing that red box that there's a desire somehow to see if we can recapture so we don't lose the public parking that it's existed. So it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to go up in that corner, but that's just a kind of a placeholder. Next. So this is the first look at what this new site might be developed to look like. So I'm just going to take a minute and walk you around what's shown here. Again, the marina is down at the bottom. And so I guess a couple of things probably jump out right away. The park has been redesigned, and it's shown as a big central green that happens is what we've labeled as the Great Lawn. That's the main gathering space, and within that would be the band shell, but perhaps relocating it. And then another significant part of the design, and you'll see this later in other slides, but we really wanted to make sure there was a good connection both from the park up into town and also from town back into the park. So hopefully you can see here, up straight up above where I'm pointing, the park actually terraces up about a full story to connect all the way up to the corner. So you can arrive at the corner downtown and walk right into the park. So that helps split the buildings to sort of form this gateway to the park. On the right side of the plan, and again, I'm just going to keep pointing just because maybe it'll make it easier. So we also want to make sure on the east side that there's a welcoming gesture made to the ferry terminal parking area, that it isn't a barrier, that allows people that are there to come experience the park while they're waiting. So that edge has also been sort of rethought. The farmer's market could be, we've created an area here that might be sort of a grass plaza area that the market could set up. The market could continue to set up on the green, around the edge of the green. A couple of other features are this lighter green color is showing the idea of bringing native vegetation that you find along a shoreline up and around the park, so it has more of a naturalistic appearance. So those are just kind of, I guess, right now, a couple of the key design factors. So as we came up with this site plan, the building just kind of found its place in relationship to all the outdoor spaces we wanted to create. And then this is just showing some imagery of not just different kind of park areas, but showing how you could have a large green with gathering spaces. You can see it across the top row. The idea of that connection up to the corner being kind of a series of terraces and gardens that people could come, sit, have lunch, overlook the marina. So the idea of pedestrian connections is shown here again. And you're looking at kind of the green space and how that green space facilitates connecting the marina to the park, up into town, how it allows commuters to park, traverse the park to get to the ferry, how it also allows ferry users to get to the park. So the park is like this hub of all these different activities. Next. And then if you back up in scale, we also wanted to think again about how Mike Wallace Park is going to start to connect back into other park and open space systems in Kingston. And what can we do now to facilitate that for the future? So I'm going to just show you briefly now kind of what the building looks like if you just think of it like a layer cake. And starting at the bottom layer, there's an underground parking garage. And when you see the pictures in a minute, you really don't even know there's a garage under the building because of the grade change. So we're able to almost bury it under the park in the building. So underground parking, and then there's a small little wing that sticks off that could contain some office space, for a variety of different purposes, water-related uses. Next slide. So the main level, the big yellow block, is the hotel. The hotel's currently proposed as about, is it Sean, is about 40 rooms?
Correct.
40 rooms. And then the green block is a restaurant. And then you can kind of see the where it says the word covered breezeway, that's the connection that allows you to get down to the park. Next slide. And then as you go up one more level, it basically looks the same. You get another floor of the hotel. You get a little bit more second floor restaurant or potentially a separate business on the second floor. And then if you go up one more slide, we've also looked at the potential to have residential on the very top of the building. And that's something we'll talk more about later, just understanding what the purpose of that is. But so primarily this is a commercial project with just a little bit of residential. So before I show you the slide, well, actually, Sean, why don't we come back to this after we go through the slides? So can we go through the images now?
Well, we can.
Maybe this is a good time for public comment.
No, not yet.
Do you have the older presentation?
So can you give you a rooftop deck or something?
So I see people take pictures. If you want this on our website, the whole presentation is like a PDF, so you can you look at that if you want a little bit.
Could everybody that has questions right
now
question. Speak up?
Yeah.
Because nobody can hear.
In looking at the whole green, I couldn't see, like, where is that my big building? Where does that sit in relation to the circular green area?
Oh, uh-huh.
They'll show you, if you can see it, we'll show you the aerial so you can see it easily. They'll do a walk.
Oh,
so you'll see it.
Well, okay, I just didn't see it when he was explaining it.
Oh, sure.
Okay, this is a kind of a good, I'll leave that one. So what we're going to show, we originally had planned on just showing still images as you move around the site. You get to see the movie. This is, you're the first one. It's like the premiere.
Oh,
jazz music, hopefully. So what we're going to do, again, it makes it look so real, it's almost too real. But this will give you a tour. It'll be walking around the whole thing, and I think actually it's going to give you a much, much more realistic presentation of what we're doing. So, Sean, hopefully we're in. So we're starting, I think it's somewhat self-explanatory, but we're starting at the corner.
Sourdough Willie's on the right.
Got it.
And then that's sort of the
so
restaurant.
Walking down Main Street towards it.
Yeah, restaurant on the left, hotel on the right. Anybody wants to order a coffee? Now's the time. And then we're standing where that future transit mall's going to be.
So buses will be coming along there?
That's what we think. And that's the terrace up to the restaurant.
Okay, now is that part of the
restaurant? Well, let's hold our comments.
Yeah.
Okay.
Please. Now we're coming into the park. You can see the hotel with the residential above and the restaurant. restaurant still on the right? Sorry, it's a little bit dark in the picture here. I don't know why it's doing that.
It's his other computer.
Now we're walking up and around the edge of the park, and then this is kind of this terraced garden space that takes you back up to the corner. And there will be benches and seating and all sorts of things, but this is just kind of the first. So again, the restaurant is to the right. And now we're kind of climbing up and over the underground garage. A little pedestrian bridge connecting the hotel to the upper floor of the restaurant.
And you can see the restaurant still sees through, you know, that area. That's really important, we felt.
The materials that we're showing right now are brick and horizontal lap siding. And now we're going to walk down Washington Street towards the marina. You're seeing the balconies off the hotel room. You can sort of see the upstairs residential.
So that massage place and the yacht club are behind us?
Yes.
Behind, yeah.
That's a little bit of the parking garage poking out. You can see this is where you drive in to get under the building. And then that bit of office space I told you is on the garage level. You can now see under the hotel. So, and we'll put that site plan slide back up in a minute. So, what I wanted to mention, just because I think this will give some context to the comments and concerns, and maybe we're going to talk about these all again, which is totally fine. So, these were some of the comments that came up last week in the meeting. And I think the one I would put highest on the list is making sure that this project supports, you know, reinforces Kingston's charm, the old town quality, making sure somebody mentioned, you know, let's make sure this reflects whatever Kingston's brand is. So this is kind of an opportunity to help think about that, because you could say Kingston's brand is a lot of different things. So that I'll be very interested to hear that. That was probably the biggest comment that I think people reacted to, that things look too modern. So have at us on that one. Another comment was the park looked very formal, and so there were comments about maybe it should be more organic. So again, just this is so early on, there's lots of things to think about as we go forward. Another comment was shoreline access. If we're not able to have access directly in front of Mike Wallace Park, well, maybe there's another part of the site that we could get shoreline access. Stormwater and restoration opportunities on the site. So if we're going to be infiltrating water? Can we highlight it so there's a more natural feel of how ecological systems work around the property? Really important one is making sure that the park is connected to town. We talked about that quite a bit. Again, the design guidelines, considering pitched roofs, making sure we're supporting the farmers market, because that's a really important activity that happens in the park. There was also some discussion about the economic impact of this. How does this relate to downtown? Greg and others can talk about that more later. And then lastly, there was a woman that brought up, what about affordable housing? What are we going to do as far as affordable housing goes? So I'm not going to try and answer any of these, but these are the kind of things that when we get your comments back tonight, we're going to add to this list, and you know, this is the work we'll have to do when we're done. So let's get started, if that's a good segue.
Sounds good to me.
That took so long. That was twice how long I said it would take.
Well, there was a little technical difficulty there. So some of the things in relation to the video as well, you know, when you saw the plants on the ground, it could be, you know, sword ferns or dune grass or things like that. So, you know, that visual, we like the idea of native plants because we like natural environment here as well. So just a side comment on that.
Can you put up the picture at the end of the video that shows, you get the sense of it looking in and over towards past the ferry. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
I do.
John, yeah, did you get that?
Yep.
He's on it.
Yeah, I apologize. These are so dark. You know, it's, you look at this stuff at the office, and it's like, oh, God, this is going to be so great. And now it's just like, is this the launch?
That's what I was talking about. Yeah.
Okay,
The boat launch is over here. Down in the corner here. Okay. It's below the view, yeah.
And Sean removed all the buildings in Kingston.
It's all forest now.
Okay, so anybody that wants to make a comment now, raise your hand.
Okay.
And would you come over here?
Absolutely.
Just come up here, I think.
My name is Glenn Hutchinson. I'm actually a member at large of the Kingston Community Advisory Council, and I really appreciate this presentation and what you guys are doing for this, because I love Kingston and I know all of you do too. My first overarching question is kind of your comment about how this connects with downtown and retail opportunities, because I know we'd all love to have more restaurants, galleries, and shopping and all that. The key question is, what is the support or engagement of the county commissioners and operational staff in this whole process? And kind of secondarily, how does that relate to their cooperative management and effort to prioritize the traffic realignment in Kingston? Because this obviously needs a lot of maneuvering of traffic in all this. So that maybe you can comment on that to see how that segues into your beautiful operation. I think this is just a great presentation. Thank you.
Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Well, do we want to answer as we go, or how do we want to do that? I think generally I would say that the county commissioners have the responsibility in relation to county roadways. We have a unique situation in Kingston. We have a state highway that rolls right through the middle of our main street. So again, that the realignment, you know, that's going to be hopefully funded and shifted to the north and on I think First Street. That idea isn't really going to affect what we're doing in relation to the development, other than, you know, it'll shift how people will come into the ferry booth and things like that. So in a general way, I'd say the county commissioner's job in relation to the side streets like West Kingston Road. You saw the one, what are called now rotaries, or we call them roundabouts. By the Coffee Oasis, there's a plan for a roundabout there. So those things aren't really going to be a stumbling block for the plan here. But certainly they'll be incorporated once those things happen. So it's a really good question, though.
And I also want to comment that I think we have a concern that the construction timing, not only the planning, but that the construction timing be aware of each other. The county's not going to build this, we're not going to build the realignment. But it's a question of how long is downtown Kingston going to be under construction? And so we need to coordinate closely with the county.
And that's always a challenge for retail businesses.
And you have a question.
Great. William Westwater, sorry, and I do live in Kingston. We've been here for about six-ish years, so we're newbies. But a couple of things, a couple of concerns. One is with the hotel, I'm not sure what that does to, admittedly not a huge number of people, but to the existing sight lines from across Washington and in that area. You know, because some of those places have really nice views of the fireworks and the water when they want to and stuff, and is that going to be gone? And the other comment I have is, I don't know, we have a chicken and egg problem in Kingston. We always do in terms of attracting more people and population and the businesses. Because if you do the businesses, will the people come, or do you need the people first so they can support the businesses? So I'm concerned in about the timing here. Maybe now 2 or 3 years is good, but maybe construction shouldn't really start until we're a lot further along with that development on Linvog, and we start got a little more population to support it, because the last thing I want to see is these buildings come in and be empty.
Thank you
very much.
We talked about that a little bit at the last meeting. It's a great comment and question. One of the things that we're hoping, and this is very intentional, is that this is a catalyst. That when people see reinvestment in a community, it encourages other people to reinvest in a community. And if, in fact, when this gets built, there will be other people along Main Street that will feel comfortable and confident about that. The other thing, as far as the views go, Kingston's not going to look the same 25 years from now. It's going to be transformed. And you're going to probably, because if you can look at the new roles coming out of Olympia, growth, you know, the growth direction, and the downtown is going to be at least three-story buildings almost everywhere. So the scale that this is being drawn at, or considered at this stage, is probably anticipating pretty consistently what is anticipated for the rest of Old Town. So what now looks out of scale is anticipating what I think a future growth pattern is going to be like.
That all sounds great. That's a $20 million-ish bet.
Well, they're all, I mean, development is always has to look right forward to anticipate. There's no guarantee that everybody be doing it.
Hi there, my name's Noel.
Do you want to come over here?
Yeah, this speaker doesn't pick up, so thank you. That's perfect.
So we can hear, because we have to record it, so we can hear you. That's all.
Yeah, that's fine. You're good.
Put you on the spot.
I'm more simple question. How does this affect Noel? How does this affect my property taxes and my mortgage fees? Because flat out, I want to know where it is. I'm personally feeling like I'm being nickeled and dimed in a sense, especially with property taxes. It's always a little of this, a little of that, a little more of this. All that little adds up. And I know a lot of people that I've spoken to who live on budgets are very concerned about that. And I'd like to know how that affects that. I mean, I'd like to sign on to this. It looks beautiful, and I know everybody's put their heart into it. and wants to do it, but I want to get back to how does that affect the cost of living?
That's a big question that we're going to be working on a lot over the next 5 months as we look at financing potentials. And I don't really think we can dive into that now, but making the comment really reminds us, if we started to forget and just be thinking about this,
right,
the impact on every household.
I mean, a lot of people have moved over here because it's very expensive on the other side. And I hate to price out a lot of people who have lived here for generations because they haven't got to retirement age or have not been lucky to work in the tech field on the other side. So that's my concerns.
Thank you, Noah.
The current rate right now, the court charges and property taxes for someone, I know there aren't a whole lot of $300,000 homes anymore, but for a $300,000 home, you're paying approximately $90 a year in port property taxes, just as a scale heads up, okay?
Yeah. But I just want you to hear that. It's just
yes,
not the port. It's so many other things when you look at a bill. When it's just one thing after another, and there's a point of breaking, and I do see that with a lot of other people that I've kind of discussed in the forums about that. And I can understand their concerns. I'm not there yet. I've come here with open heart and open ears and to ask the questions. So thank you.
Thank you
very much.
Just generally, though, if I can add something. So there's a range, right? You can be completely private funded, mm-hmm, or you can be completely public funded. Those are the alternatives anywhere along that spectrum. The more you use private sector money, you have less and less control. They're going to want to tell you what they want to see when their money's invested, if that's to go forward, and that would just basically be a land lease, which would be cash that would go, you know, into coffers. This project has to stand alone, stand on its own 2 feet. So it would be, this isn't a spec build, this would be pre-leased, both, and have, basically be looking at two probably anchor tenants. One would be a hotelier, and or they might take on a restaurant, where you just have a restaurant tour, and you have a hotelier to take on two anchor tenants, and then there'd be additional space. But when you look at whose money it is, more control you want in the community, that, you know, one way is to do public, go towards the public end of the spectrum. That's the trade-off. With this site, you know, it's difficult. The commission has kind of said, hey, give me direction. We want to retain as much control, and we want the revenue from this to get poured back into the community. If you go forward with development, I'm saying. So that's the trade-off, just generally when you frame it up. That's what they're going to have to grapple with as we vet all the financial alternatives. Yeah.
Now, with that comment, excuse me, can I add on? You've made a comment when we first started here how the government makes you do all these crazy things, right? I think that's not paraphrasing.
I meant to say crazy, but all of
that. Okay.
It's so not easy.
That is a little bit of a concern, too, in the sense that, what is that going to look like? Because if we're seeing this at this level, millions and millions of dollars, there's going to be a lot of overlap here, and I can see a lot of expense. How's that going to be managed?
Okay. So that's our big task.
Yeah.
So.
Thanks. Hi, Mary. My name's Carl Compton, and I want to say thank you to you guys, and then I want to especially say thank you to you because you're much more diplomatic and smooth than I am. And then I want to address you guys, my neighbors. To address the questions, chicken and egg, taxes, the future, and the past. I'm old enough now to both have seen it and to be living it. And 24 years ago, when I moved here, my home had the killer view, which is now a fraction of that, complements not of buildings, but fir trees, as many of you probably have experienced. So views change, so to build buildings that compromise other people's views, it's gonna happen. It's gonna happen one way or another. So, and this is where I'm not so diplomatic, you know, but it's like, okay, taxes are gonna go up, costs are gonna go up, and we're just gonna have to deal with that. If that means, and I'm a retired person on a fixed income, so, you know, if that means we need to go get other jobs or figure out new income streams, We're going to have to deal like old pensioners before us have had to figure out how to deal with inflation. So I hope that that kind of feeds on your comments, and I hope I didn't upset you or offend you. Now my comments, I wrote down, because I'm a little nervous. I would like to just read them. Hi, my name is Carl Compton, and I'm a 24-year resident of Kingston. Like all of us, I'm passionate about Kingston's future because it is what I consider to be a very unique and valuable rural village. Again, I think we all agree on that. Protecting and enjoying our natural environment is also a passion that I think we all share. Now, relevant to this meeting and these efforts, I am also passionate about community development and civil engineering. It's important for our businesses. It is important for our residents. It is interesting, and it produces, or can produce, really good results. I've lived here long enough that I saw the Kingston High School get built for a whopping $12 million. You can't build anything for $12 million now 20 years later. But as an example of cost, and you guys addressed it in response, I think, to your question, which is, you know, development is what draws residents, jobs, and visitors. And any of us who want those things, the development happens first. And me and my bright ideas, I persuade the property owner to sell me two of his downtown lots, and then I borrow $20 million from a bank, and I do all this stuff. You know, that's not going to happen. But where we have professionals, whether it's the port commissioners or the hired architect companies or all of our community involvement, you know, that's the way to accomplish that, I think. My phone's been recording my comments. So those are some of the thoughts that I have. Now, comments. I would like to ask that the plan that you've fleshed out for us, which I think is quite good, that, and you've already mentioned it a little bit with a lid covering some parking, we've got X amount of square footage out there of the most wonderful, beautiful, prime real estate that you could imagine, and it's covered with pavement. This is my civil engineering background. Concrete lids work really well to increase the amount of square footage you've got to use for parks, for public spaces, for businesses. And so my request is that if it's possible, you know, as we all move forward with this, try and think of how to basically put lids on top of all the parking. So we've got that much more lawn space and gardens. And that would include the ferry parking lot, not just this side, but the ferry parking lot as well. I don't know how hard it would be to coordinate that with the state and their plans for traffic coming in and out of town, but still, more parking lot lids, please. I think it would achieve all of our shared goals, protecting the environment, maximizing the environment, getting people down to enjoy the beach, having more businesses, having more people living downtown, making it pedestrian friendly, everything. So thank you.
Thank you, Carl.
Very good.
So just one thing you made me think about that probably was evident, but the new building is placed basically on top of where the old parking was. So that's
the concrete lid.
Yeah. Yeah, so I feel we're reinforcing what you're talking about, and by placing the building over the parking with the parks kind of flowing up and over it, we're also able to help obscure even knowing that parking's under there. So that was our intention.
Yeah, I like that. When you mentioned it, that's nice.
Is that me?
Is it okay?
I think you're probably okay there. Yeah. It'll pick up.
My name's Patty Larson, and my family's been around since 1930 over there. As a kid, I saw some of the old, and I recognize the rest of it. Two quick, hopefully quick comments. Do we need a hotel there? And we have one up the road that I know it got some problems, and I don't know if it's still working or not, but wouldn't that be a better place for a hotel and something more of the community shops and such there instead of a hotel and residential on top? Just a thought. My other comment was on this side where you go down on the other side of where the, I'm looking at the picture here, where the, you know, the beach down there on the other side of the ferry parking?
North Beach?
Yeah, and that was part of your, part belongs to the port.
Uh-huh, yep.
Will that be being developed so that people can wander from here down to the beach and...
You still have to get to the ferry.
You know, I mean, now you can kind of get down there.
Mm-hmm.
Because it belongs to the port, that was just my thought, is that would extend... you were talking about beach access or people playing on the beach. I don't see it over here where we have the marina, mm-hmm. but maybe over there?
Good, Patty.
Popped up periodically. Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Eric?
Yes.
Thank you. My name is Mike Reed. Been here about 4 years. And I love the concept. One of my questions, am I going to live long enough to see it? So, you just never know. But I've been in construction my whole life. I've had businesses. I've sold businesses, all in construction, and all phases of it. What I'd like to see is a bigger partnership with private enterprise, the county, and the port. I think we're close to that. And how do you get private investment? Private investment, these guys do their research. And if they're putting that kind of money, they're going to want return on their money. So how do we do to help them? One, we can accelerate the permit process. And what I suggest is to the county, let's get a private firm to accelerate the permit process. Because instead of a 3 or 4 year start, maybe we can get it in 2. Another thing is, as if this is a 4 year start, we'll add 20% to the construction cost right away. We're going to look at 24, 25 million. And so what can we do to accelerate the EIS, environmental impact study, permit costs? Let's get private business in here now and let them be the judge and sort of what's going on here with our improvement. Because they know when they're putting $20 million into something, they know they're going to get the return back. You know, I'd rather see that than have Port Orchard and Kitsap County dictate what type of businesses are going to be in there. I think that's a losing cause as a business man. But that's all I got to say.
Well, Mike, I think Greg alluded to the fact that the spectrum of totally done with public dollars, mm-hmm. versus totally done with private dollars, that is sitting right over there for us to work on. So thank you for reminding us of the importance of it.
I think somebody over yep. here wanted to.
Just a minute, I already called on him, so then you, so come on up. Somebody has their hand up over here. Yes, come over here, please. Thank you, Tanya.
Hi, my name is Tanya Issa, and it was hard not to ooh and awe seeing this. I think it's really impressive. When we first purchased property here and moved from Issaquah, we were really excited about the Village Green, and not a shovel had been put in the dirt, but there was a lot of excitement. It was a public-private partnership, and we were so hopeful, and you know, some years went by and we kept thinking, oh my gosh, they're never going to dig dirt. What's going to happen? fundraising went on. You know, people were giving large sums of their private money to something that was going to change the community. Here we sit. It wasn't that long ago, because I think we purchased here in 2012. So think of where you're sitting today and think of how this has changed the community. When I look at this, that's it. That's what I would like to see in Kingston, and it's beautiful. You guys have done an exceptional job, so thank you.
Thank you, Danny. The gauntlet trying to get up here.
Obstacle course.
So I'm Morgan. So I lived here for about 4 years now, but grew up in Kitsap, the whole community. So I just had two comments that I wanted to mention. So the first one, and I guess I have a clarifying question. It sounded like there isn't retail space in this, is that correct?
Essentially, yeah.
Okay.
But there can be, so
okay.
We can talk more about that.
Okay, I think that was, from what I had heard, I think that was the fact I was like, oh, I was really hoping there would be retail space because
honestly, I'd
like
that.
Yeah, I would love to. I mean,
okay.
I'm actually, I want to open stores, and it doesn't feel like there's that many places and that many opportunities in Kingston to do that. So I feel like that would be something, as a resident, I would really want to see and actually give a reason to come downtown.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of along that same lines, I'm curious to know more about the intention to have one signature restroom versus having that split between a few, because like as a resident, I'm only going to go to the same restaurant like a few times in a week. Like you can really only go so often. And so, but I feel like if you have that split between a few, there's more opportunity to come back, bringing you downtown. And the large restaurants that I've seen in Kitsap, they're usually not so packed. Like you go to Crabtree and it's kind of sadly empty a lot of the time. Same with some of the other port restaurants. It's not a port restaurant, but. And so I guess I kind of question that. And I'm not sure if that's your decision or that's the board's. And curious to know more about that.
Sure. And tell me your name again.
Laura.
Laura. Okay. Those are both really great, great observations. So without being able to go back into the movie, you could remember back a little bit into it, the side of the building that faces the...
Whoa. Oh, my God.
Yes.
There you go.
Laugh, and I missed the joke.
Sean's making us dizzy.
God. Isn't Sean amazing?
He is. Way to go, Sean.
This is sort of how architects work, and in some ways it's a little weird, but as we started... So imagine we're starting on this design, and... This is, behind those gray walls is where the kitchen is, because we wanted the windows to get to appreciate the park. You know, your kitchen is a solid block, so that's where the kitchen went. And up above it could be another restaurant, so that's part of it. This could be split into two different things. But one of the things I think Sean and I would love to see is we took the first block, and when we started this with our team here, and they're like, wow, you know, this is a little, doesn't feel very warm and Kingston-y. So we got the coffee shop tucked into the corner, and what I think we could do is start to populate each of those little things with us. It might be 8 or 10 feet deep, but it could be a coffee shop. I mean, think how small and successful the crepe shop is. It's tiny. So if we can start to populate that, I think one of my favorite buildings in Kingston are those two funny little, those two cute little retail buildings on the east side of the street.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, what, 15 feet deep?
Yep.
In some ways, those are two of the best buildings that have been built in Kingston in the last 20 years because they just have the character and look. So maybe we can start to transport that character to here. So these are, we've got a ways to go on this, but those are both really good. So thank you.
I
like
teeny tiny one. Last month, I'll swear I'm done.
Okay.
There's no
limit. I do feel like this definitely could use more charm. And from a quick Google, it looks like you worked on the Windermere building down by the ferry on Bainbridge. Is that a lie? I didn't actually look. Anyhow, that's charming.
I don't know, did I?
This has more charm. I don't know if you did.
I've worked on, have you ever been down to Linwood Center for the old
theaters?
Yeah.
I just feel like more wood or something, because it does
Yeah, yeah. That's good. Yeah. Thank you, Laura.
Yeah, I'd like to talk about parking. My name's Dennis Wadley, and I like to go down to the port on a nice sunny day, and I feel like I get the last parking place. And so it seems like the parking is like 100% utilized, and so we need more parking, not less. And the other thing what I don't want to see, when you start this project, the first thing that happens is the contractor ropes off, you know, 40 spaces, whatever, and now we have a parking problem for the next year or two. So it seems like what I'd recommend is if you can look into building the additional parking as a pre-construction project. Mm-hmm. You know, that little up by the dog park, whatever, in that area, if you could add like 100 spaces there and then start construction. And then when you rope off a bunch of places, you've got it. And ultimately, try to get more parking. And I'm not sure how you do that, but I hate to say it, but maybe a parking structure, you know? I don't actually like the sound of that. But,
yeah.
Or maybe you can go underground with it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Something like
there,
that.
There's ways.
Okay. But thank we need more parking.
More parking. Good. Actually, one of the things that we're planning to do is a true parking evaluation. I'm not going to say parking study. I'm sick of parking studies. But a parking evaluation. How do we do it? Where could we do it? Et cetera. So thank you. Oh, wait.
He's been standing.
Hi, I'm Tom Friend. Moved here in 87. Was a founder of the Norman Road Association. And had my boat in the marina for 20-some years. So I've seen lots of folks present lots of different plans for what's going on. Since I no longer own a boat in the marina, I care more about things on wheels now. So I'll talk a little bit about funding and then get to the wheels. A couple ideas for funding. I would rather invest some of my retirement money into public projects like this than to see some outside company come in and put their thumb on that project. Just saying. And I do love the idea also of having some more small retail spaces. I know you don't have anything to do with how the highway department puts in a roundabout, but I've spent a lot of time driving in other countries where roundabouts really work well, and there's nobody in this county that knows how to do that. We'll end up with something that looks like that big intersection down at Silverdale.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, number two on wheels. Are all the parking spaces going to be above sea level? Just something to
today.
I understand. And the third thing is, for people who are in wheelchairs, I didn't see a whole lot of accessibility in all these stairways going to and from and around the park.
So not true.
So please.
It's hard to see it.
Yeah. It didn't show up here.
You can't see it, but so what we'll do is we'll actually put a PDF so you can really see it, because what you'll see is it's actually ADA compliant. So what it does is it's like a max right between the buildings that goes down, and then also we can't change the grade necessarily right here up on Washington, exactly, just that little bit that goes down to Central.
Yeah.
But that's ADA between the buildings, going cutbacks going back and forth. And also, I think the slope actually along the ferry line is slightly bended, but it's pretty close to ADA, but you know, to technically. But it is definitely, we talked about that as a requisite.
It is required,
it just didn't show in
yeah.
Hard to see.
It's hard to see, but there in that view you can see. Put your cursor up there, right above. See it zigzags.
Okay.
That zigzag does come down in an ADA compliant.
At the very beginning, this is something that we addressed with Charlie.
Yeah.
It not only being ADA accessibility through the center of the park, but also from the other sides. That it is from all angles. It was a real high priority to be addressed with Charlie right up front.
Thank you.
Yes.
Hi, I'm Jack Glavin. Thanks, you guys, for all the work you put into this. And hi, everybody. I just wanted to talk about the restaurant. Can you do it like tomorrow?
And I'm going to date myself here because in 1981, I worked at the original Kingston Inn, which was exactly where you have placed this restaurant. And someone had said they were worried about it getting enough business. And we had prime rib night on Wednesday and Saturday nights, and there were lines out the door. That restaurant was always packed. And so that's another thing to think about when you're thinking about who you're going to put in that restaurant. We had a coffee counter, and we had a bar, and we had a deck. In the summertime, the deck was always packed. We had people coming from Seattle on their boats just to sit on that deck and eat and drink at the Kingston Inn. We had the coffee bar. We, in the mornings, we had a regular crowd of old-timers that came and sat at that coffee bar and drank coffee, and it was the community of Kingston. Mm-hmm. It was the heart of Kingston. And we've been missing that ever since, and I think the biggest crime was when that restaurant disappeared. Mm-hmm. And you know, they duplicated it across the street, but then that one went away too. So, you know, it's like the heart of a community can be rebuilt. And I also agree with the retail space right there too, because, you know, I think that once you have something like a restaurant like that, then there's going to be people that will want to get ice cream or, you know, go shopping in the little shops. The marina could be, well, I don't know if you can put any more spaces down there, but... yeah, I would say do it now, and I would rather see us have control over it than somebody else. So, and the county would not have control over this, yeah. Right?
Because no.
Somebody else made the comment mm-hmm. about the county. So, just to make that clear, this is our property. The port would be what we want it
yep.
to be.
Yep.
Thanks.
Thank you, Jeff.
I'll move from here because it's going to be short. My name is Antoine, otherwise known as Kenyans. my wife's comment because I want to win tonight. But Jed was spot on. If you had any concern about actually whether this is a risk worth taking, it's just going to address the history says that this will actually bring people from all over. I think it's a great first shot at it. The only thing I want to add to it is if you consider. Since you talked about access to the code, some activity that will allow people to engage the code, because one of my first earlier memories about moving these was just looking at the code, the pack of kids playing, that was fun. Thank you,
Anton. Yes.
Hi, thank you. My name's John. I've lived in Kingston for about the last 10 years. I live on the water, and I like to be out there almost every day if I can. But I think this is a good idea, but I don't think the building's beautifully designed as a contemporary building, and I'm not saying that disrespectfully, but I don't think it fits in. You said you wanted to fit in with the character of Kingston. Maybe we should, it's a nautical town, it's a port town. It should look like that. So maybe even the Northwest Lodge, I think, would be the way I would go if I were gonna design it. But it's still, and it's kind of disheartening what you said, they're going to tear downtown apart. And, you know, some of those buildings are really classic and beautiful. And I really think what we need here, as you see all the failing businesses downtown, is a plan. We need a study that would tell us whether this is going to be successful or not. We can see what happened over on Lundvog there, those townhouses, or none of them are occupied except maybe one. So you don't want to do that again, and this is going to cost people's taxpayer money, and let's pretend like it's someone's vacation money, and not throwing out, this is only $300 on a $1 million house or whatever, you know, that's that's not where we want to be. And I said this before in another meeting, is that Leavenworth was a disaster. And it was a, and they planned, they decided to give it this alpine motif. So there was some consistency. So I really think we need to have a plan and involve the property owners on Main Street and then see if we can get them, you know, to come up with one concept. It obviously isn't going to be like Leavenworth, but make this a port town. I mean, if you go into the pub, I always forget the name of it, you know, it's those old ceilings and everything, that gives this place a lot of character. And those old buildings on Main Street have a lot of character. And if you're going to assume they're all going to be torn down and it's going to look like downtown Seattle, well, then maybe there's no hope in doing that. But I really, I think this town is unique. It's got the possibilities to have character and yet not be overdeveloped. And I think that the idea, if that would bring, that probably would help businesses. But I don't think we should spend the money until we do a study. Someone from the Chamber of Commerce, when I was talking last time, they said, well, we had a study. But I mean, it was 10 years ago or 12 years ago when I came here. So I really think, I mean, as I pointed out before, on top of the cliff there, you got a view of Mount Baker, where the old hotel is, and a view of Mount Rainier. There's nothing like that anywhere else, and you got a beach, a public beach below it. So there has to be a way to market this, yet not have it overdeveloped and not have high rises. And I mean, this is a good start. I think this would be an asset, but I don't think I'd want to invest in it as a taxpayer until I knew there was a study that said there's a demand, people will use it. Everybody here agrees we need a hotel. And everybody here needs, a rumor was before Anthony's was going to build a restaurant here. I don't know if that was true or not. But that's the kind of thing I think we need. And then that would help the Main Street businesses. But I still think you got to coordinate the plan and have, try and preserve the architectural concept of the whole downtown area. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Mattia. I'm the owner of Sweet Life Bakery here in town. And this is gorgeous. Very ambitious, it feels, but it is gorgeous. Just a couple comments. As a local, yes, it'd be great to have another restaurant. But as a business owner, the number one question I get asked all the time from visitors is, what is there to do here? So what I would like to see, personally, rather than a restaurant, is maybe an aquarium, or like Antoine said, like an activity, something a draw for people other than another restaurant. I mean, we have the gorgeous marina and everything to look at, but that's the number one question I always get. What can we do here while we're waiting for the next ferry, besides eat, or, you know, so. Something with an activity, an aquarium, a museum even, I think would be amazing. Thank you.
There were other hands up. Okay, Carolyn.
Hi, my name is TJ. I really like the plan overall. I'm actually really glad that this is even going forward. I've grown here my whole life. I just came back about 5 years ago, but I've been around a while. And I remember seeing something like this that the port was working on 10 years ago. But I'm really glad you guys are now moving forward. So one concern I do have, and I know people have talked about it a little bit, is the parking question. Kingston has, in my opinion, a bit too much parking right now. We have an overabundance. I know that we might need more, but I'd like to think about it in a smart way, especially when it relates to the underground that you proposed. I really like that. I think it's a really strong concept to have it tucked under the building, but I'd like to just make sure we're not throwing out a piece of land that's perfectly good at the street here or a park or any other use, and just go straight to adding more parking right away. I'd like to really see the port consider that carefully, because it's a, right now people come off the ferry and we walk through a sea of cars just getting home. Mm-hmm. And I don't think we need more of that per se. We do need it if there's a hotel or a development of some sort, sure. But let's just do so carefully, because, you know, Port Townsend's a great town. People love going there, but nobody goes there because it has great, you know, the great parking. They go there because it's got an old downtown core. And it's successful because it's a dense downtown core. And, you know, these places like, desirable places like Port Townsend happen not because they put in parking first. It happens because there's a lot of buildings and businesses. And some of the other comments about micro business or, you know, a diversity of small businesses. And the parking's kind of an after, a little bit of an afterthought. Sure, it's 100 years old, and that's why it is there. But even if new development, it's really important to have that urban element. If it's going to be urban, it's going to be urban. And I think we need to run with that in this scenario and figure out the parking, like I said, just in a smart way and not just throw lots everywhere.
Thank you.
I saw someone way in the back.
There's one over there. Here.
Oh, there. There's somebody too. Oh.
Thanks, Kim. Waiting till the end, I had a lot of my questions answered. One of them that hasn't been answered, though, is you're going to take away a lot of the 2-hour free parking. The redevelopment is going to take away the parking that's on 104 now. Where do the locals park that we don't have to pay? Those of us who live in the Port District and pay our taxes pay the same amount as anybody else who parks in those lots. And I really would like to know where the locals get to park. Something else is, I'm curious, if we build the hotel and the restaurants with tax dollars, who's going to profit from that? Is the Port going to run those businesses, or is a private company going to come in and run them? Where's the profit from those going to go? I'm concerned about, it kind of feeds off of what he was saying, is we've got the old Sears building behind Coffee Oasis. We've got that old, it used to be tax and insurance company. We've got the old Rainier Seafirst Mercantile Building. Mm-hmm. We've got the old laundromat. We've got the old hotel. We've got the old Blue Water. They're all private companies, private businesses are not willing to invest in Kingston. Are we going to change that with this? Or is Kingston still going to, is it all going to be taxpayer-funded businesses? And private industry is just, I mean, we can't keep restaurants in town now. Why is that? You know, they come in, they're built, they're here for a few years, and then they leave. Other than the Great Place.
State your name.
Kim.
Kim. Very important questions as we really evaluate the dollars and cents of all of this. So,
I just have two quick things to say, and this has been really great, and I love looking at all these great designs. But I don't mean to be, oh, and a Marjorie. I don't mean to be a negative Nelly, but maintenance, the Hill property is just falling apart, sorry guys, but that's not giving me a positive feeling about how that's going to be maintained. So maintenance is a huge thing, and then property taxes. I mean, you guys don't pay any property taxes, so I just wonder about that, but the maintenance thing is huge for me to maintain the properties. And then the other thing is over in Edmonds they have 3-hour parking, and over in Kingston they have a few 2-hour parking. So it seems like if you want to attract people to come over here for more than just, you know, driving through, you'd want to have consistency about the parking times. But I would hate to see the Hill property become parking lot, but that's probably where it's going to go. And the old dog park that was so well used by the boaters that would come with their little dogs and stuff, That's been closed for, what, 3 years or something? So to me, that's a real loss. That park was really an asset, especially when we had a dog. So that's just been closed off to the community for 3 years. So I don't know. Parking?
Permitting.
It's kind of a little disappointing.
Thank you. I didn't think you were a negative Nelly.
Pardon me?
I didn't think you were a negative Nelly.
Oh, well, maintenance is not exciting. That's like, thank you, Sally. So
hi, my name is John Luciata. I live in Kingston. I've been here since actually be 20 years in May. So, and first off, to start, I just want to thank everybody on the port because you guys truly are like the jewel of Kingston. Whenever anybody talks about something positive about Kingston, it usually generates from stuff that you guys have started. The 4th of July, the parades, you know, the marina, you know, just about everything over here. So I want to say thank you for that first. The concerns that I wanted to voice, first and foremost, was the tax burden. Recently, there's been a lot of talk in the newsletters and stuff about the industrial district and your tax authority with that. And some of the language that you use, up to 45 cents, in addition to what we're already paying. And then it also talks about for a period of up to 20 years. And those are some big numbers. And when I see a building like this, today it says $20 million. And granted, it's an uneducated opinion, but there's no way that that's going to get built for $20 million, especially when you're talking 3 years down the road for doing that stuff. I work as a firefighter on the other side. We're in the process of remodeling a fire station, one fire station, and it's over $5 million. So I have a concern about that. And then also, when we talk about economic development, it's an anchor restaurant, and that might be like an Anthony's or something, and I don't see how that benefits the economic development of the citizens of Kingston. And then, again, it's a beautiful building. It's you know, gorgeous. I think it'll add a lot to Kingston if it actually does happen. The timing between building this and the realignment of 104, if this happens and that doesn't happen, it's going to be a nightmare downtown with all the traffic and parking and stuff. So I worry about that also. But overall, I wanted to say thank you for all the work that the port does for Kingston. You guys do a fantastic job.
Are we done?
Oh, there's someone
no,
else.
Nancy's got something.
We should have just ended on that comment. That was a
rude comment. You want me to sit down?
No, you're
good. Nancy Langwith. They heard an earful from me at the last meeting, so I keep this brief, but I did want to kind of go back to the concept of what I see that the port is trying to do, and they're willing to go through the process to make the investment in the community for two anchor tenants, the restaurant and the hotel. And I think that's something that we've been lacking for a long time. Without anchor tenants, it's very hard to develop a downtown, and it's very hard to go get anchor tenants when they're in a little bit different situation than the port's in. The port's willing to make an investment in the community because they're part of the community. If you go out and talk to a hotel, they're going to look at it totally differently. So I think there is a difference between what the port is trying to do and just bringing a hotel in. And so what those anchor tenants do then is provide the customers to the rest of downtown. And back in the day, we had Roger Brooks came in, and he talked about you need six places to either eat or drink, you need six places that you can do something, and you need six retail shops. And if you have those things, then your downtown will be viable. So that's kind of a goal that we work toward. And you really need to have the anchor tenants. And that's what will start the development of these additional retail and additional restaurants, additional things to do. So it gets the ball rolling. There was a concern back, I've been involved in a lot of events in Kingston, and they all happened down in Mike Waltz Park. And I go out to the businesses and say, did that increase your business? Did that big event done at the park, did that help your business? And so often they say no because nobody left the park. So I think we have to be careful about putting everything in this development. What we want to do is create something here that has a great view up the street to Main Street, where all our small businesses are and where all the development is going to take place, where we will continue to be viable. So, and I think they've done a good job. It was a concern that I had when we met the first time, and they've done a good job of opening up the corner so you can actually see from Main Street down to the park and vice versa. So there's a very open connection there. So we get the flow going, and I think, Charlie, you've done a great job looking at the flow of folk, you know, from all perspectives in the park. So just that kind of summarizes a lot of the stuff I said last week.
Thank you, Nancy.
Very good.
I just wanted to thank everybody because I learned a lot from everything you shared. And then also, if you get a chance, go to Tacoma for a day and check out their Resting Point development. Of course, it's huge. You know, we're Little Kingston, you know, so it would be much smaller. But what I heard everybody saying, I think I saw at Resting Point. You know, so it's kind of encouraging.
Yes. Yeah, I've been there. It is cool.
Yeah.
Too many condos.
I just want to add one thing. I think, though, you should talk to some hotels and ask them, if you build this, would they come? We build it, will you come? And if nobody says they're interested, you know, I think you're putting the cart before the horse to build it and then look for a tenant. That's all.
The due diligence is critical because we're not dealing with a bankroll we're dealing with everyone. So thank you.
This William again. I just wanted to add another community to look at and look at what they've done is Paulsboro. I mean, to me, that's a great example for Kingston. They're there, they're on the water, they've got whatever the Main Street is, but that Main Street that's got all those places for the little businesses.
Front Street.
One or two buildings that are two stories, the rest are all one story there. It's very cute. It's very attractive. They get a lot of people come through there. In fact, they got a serious parking problem, but it's a different problem.
I have a question. Dennis Wadley, could you explain why we need a hotel in downtown Kingston? I don't get it.
So if you look at economic development, what really spurs demand? So part of the problem with all the retailers in downtown is they don't have enough recurring demands. So hotels, basically, referring back to some of the work that's already been done by a lot of the stakeholders, Downtown Business Association, Chamber of Commerce members, is the concept of eat, shop, stay, play. Those are the four elements that you have to do, and that's where Nancy's talking about. You got to have six of these. I hate to say, but there is somewhat of a formula that you follow in order to be able to produce enough demand, economic development, and enough demand. And now, if the problem is that you've had, so in 4 years since I've been here, we were at 5,000 people. Now we have 7,000. You used to have three grocery stores. You used to have a couple of taverns. But it was pretty thriving here. So how do you get it going again? Because what you've seen is a steady erosion here. When you look at an aerial, and you just walk around town, walk up and down all the streets, and you look and see, like even in the port park, port area, that used to have an area to service vessels, and if you look at old aerials, when the restaurant was there. So there was a bunch of buildings, and they attract people there. So you need this critical mass of capacity which holds people and attracts people from outside the area as well. So that's what a hotel does. And then when they're there, they may go shop at the, at Jasper's Network with a bunch of different people, and they might give them a little bit more. And also, is the problem here you have is also it's the year-round demand. They end up with the seasonal demand, and it's not enough to carry them through the year, so then they shut down. And so you guys, the people live here, you provide incremental, but it's not to get them over the hump, especially retailers. Retailers really need recurring demand in order to be able to pay their wages. They can't just go off to a peak in the summer, the 4 months of summer demand, which is what we kind of did. The port, we've been trying to attract people into the guest dock, and I think we've been pretty successful. We need to be more successful. And those people go, and we hope they go uptown, and they spend money at the restaurants, and they go shop here. Grocery outlet will be coming in. That's another big plus, to be able to hold people here because they go get groceries versus going out. You know, our EV, our electric cars don't make it out there. They make it out there, but they don't make it back. So it's really nice because they can just go right there. So the commission, and from what I've seen, there's been an awful lot of great concepts, and you've already done your homework. So I think it's really a matter, and it keeps recurring. The same concepts keep coming up. That usually means it's a pretty good idea. We're not doing anything spec to answer you. That's not what we're doing. We have to get a design. You have to get a concept. You have to understand how you're going to pay for it on all the different options. And then it's a matter of the commission taking input from all of you as to what we will or won't do, how we want to structure that. The more you use private, the less control you have. That money, just like if Walmart came in, that money goes to Arkansas. It doesn't stay here. So the idea that they said was, look, we want as much of the benefit here in Kingston State here. But what we'll do is we will pre-lease it. We have to go out and negotiate a deal. How does that turn into economic development for here? If you have a 40-room, a 50-room, or whatever size hotel, those people get to know Kingston, they come over. Is there enough activities currently? No. But if you haven't, you know that if they stay for 3 days, you're going to get a substantial more amount of money spent in Kingston, which will supplement your location. So we know that it's not enough demand probably for what we have for people living here. The other thing is, as demographics change, and as people that moved here when they were in their 40s or 50s, and you've aged, you spend less money. You don't need as much. Your kids are growing up. So the commission is looking at what are we going to do for the next generation and the generation after that as we go through. But hotels, we know they spend money and they stay in the area. We know there's an awful lot of demand. Now, COVID, to do a market study after 3 years of COVID is, I think, wasted effort to a degree. All we need is decide, we're going to let the market decide whether or not there's demand for the hotel. We're not predetermining, but we know there was two things out of all the studies and all the interviews from everybody. There were two elements, and you look at that in that word cloud, the word cloud of the document. That's a good example. If you take a bunch of those, you can see the hotels embedded in quite a number of them were pretty large, and the restaurant was the largest one. So that is why the commission directed me to pursue a restaurant and a hotel based on the feedback from the community. So versus what we could do is go find employers. We want to attract REI over here. We want to attract somebody else over here. But they said, no, this is what the community wants, so that's what we're pursuing. So that's what this whole effort is. But hotels do create economic development. I don't know how many of you, I came out in 81. So if you used to go down to the waterfront on Seattle, it was pretty rough. I commercially fished. I used to go down there. There was warehouses, drug use, all the rest of it. They could not find private investment on the waterfront in Seattle. And they tried. Let me tell you, the Port of Seattle owned a lot of that. Then what they ended up doing was they went into a public-private partnership pretty much with Wright Runstead. They got some anchor tenants like Columbia Hospitality. And so that's what's really driven all that. Whether you like it or not, or love it or hate it, I'm just saying that's what occurred. And then they redeveloped that whole thing, and they got a lot of private investment. They went in there. Marriott, Bell Harbor's an event center. So we know with the Fast Ferry now, we can attract, that. You know, the first year that I was here, which was started January 1 of 2018, basically, we had 175,000 people on the Fast Ferry. We're only about half that participation today. For this year, but they're trying to get it to grow that business back into Kingston. You need continuity of service, okay? Which they're going to deliver on that. But that would mean that there's more people that can come over here, and it's just you just have to get this momentum started going where it's a little bit more attractive. They can stay here. there are a lot of things to do, actually, depending on what you want to do, but there are a lot of things in Kingston that people participate in. So are they things, but there's not as much shopping, for example, or certain things. So if we do this, it's kind of an anchor to help attract other investment. And then, but we're not interested in really taking much of a risk. Okay, we don't have the wherewithal to take a risk. We couldn't even tax you to take a risk if we wanted to. So our taxing ability is at 5.9 million. We maxed out. That's all we can do. Which they're not interested in. So what they have given me the direction is, okay, we want to do commercial development first and foremost. We really don't want residential in this development if we don't have to. I can tell you, just working on the pro forma financials, that mitigates the cost pretty substantially by putting in some residential on the top floor. Okay, you could just, but if there's a hotelier and they want to come in and they want to pay the freight, Anthony's downtown on Bell Harbor Street, and Anthony's over at Fisherman's Terminal generates $500,000 each for revenue for the Port of Seattle. So that helps, you know, you think about that much money coming in for year over year over year, you can pay for the investment, right? And then they have all those other tenants, right? If you go to Fisherman's Terminal, you go. So whether it be Anthony's or whomever it would be, I'm not going to predetermine that, but what we're going to do is we're going to come up with a concept, we'll market it. We're going to, now here's the other thing. A lot of times people go, it's managed by veto. I hate to say it. We don't want their money. We don't want anybody international in here. Then we don't want anybody national. And pretty much, you know, it comes down. You may not be able to pick and choose because unless you want to take some more of a tax burden, right, potentially. I'm not even saying you would, but I'm just saying if just looking on the all the different options, this will be something the commission's going to have to weigh in on. Right? You know, I'll bring them a couple options, but you can't cry wolf. When you, if you want to go and get an anchor tenant, and they said, okay, in 2-3 years, we're going to come in here, we're going to invest in it, we're going to do a contract. You usually have a revenue share component of it. So they're you know, that's where they're going to say, we don't have maybe, you have 4 million people going through this terminal right here. It's the second busiest terminal. Number one for commercial traffic is on the ferry terminal. Then you have a fast ferry that's going to be growing. So I think, you know, I try not to, there's always naysayers, I try not to predetermine what the market's going to tell me. How many people do you need to buy your home? 10. It's great if you have two buyers, you do definitely generate, you know, a little bit better price, but you really need one higher ultimately is to buy your home. And so the same thing with these, we do need to have an anchor tenant. There will be some additional capacity. We'll have to see. There could be, I hate to say that, there's sometimes, a lot of times, you're in a moment and you just come out of a bubble and you're like, well, these are the economic conditions, you know, but you don't know what they're going to be. But we have to be positioned by doing our homework, doing everything about that site work, all the utilities that should have been done, all the zoning should have been done. We should already be ready to go, but we're not. So that's what we're doing, so that you leave no stone unturned, so you eliminate uncertainty for someone trying to come into this community. But they want to hear if people are on board. You know, don't let the perfect be the enemy of the good. I can tell you the parking is not so simple to address. People have different expectations, even when they talk about parking, what does that mean to them individually? It's very different. If I have to walk more than 50 feet, I kind of get irritated or, you know, there's no parking. But yet, I can tell you that when we look at the occupancy or the vacancy on our parking lot, we have pretty substantial vacancy on that parking lot. And you're talking about, I used to have to walk a city block, a couple city blocks. I walked half a mile every day to my job. So it's a matter of perspective. You know, is it right where I want it to be? Do I have to walk down a hill or back up the hill in order to get to my car again? So there's these things that will get into nuance. What will be the county's participation? I reached out to them when I first got here. They said, Greg, we're paying off other bonds, and if you look at their budget, they're not in a position to probably participate at this point. So we'll see what happens, though. We have a new commissioner coming in, right? So you never know.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Can I just say one more thing?
Yes.
I know I'm probably in the minority here, but I moved to Kingston 35 years ago because I liked the rural area, the way it is. I knew I'd have to go to Paulsbo for most of my shopping. I knew my kids were going to go to school in Paulsbo once they left elementary school. I didn't move here with the intention of how can I change it so
it'll be more city-like. And I also am not fond, as a retiree, of having to go get a second job to pay higher taxes. That's just me. I like Kingston the way it is, and I know it's going to grow, but I don't want to see it become city.
Excuse me, can I ask you a question? Where do your kids live now?
One lives in Hawaii and one lives in...
But they don't live here in Kingston, do they?
What does that have to do with anything?
There's nothing
going
on for
kids. Oh, no, my kids are way adults. They're not here.
Exactly my point. They don't...
My daughter lives in Everson.
Stay here.
My daughter lives in Everson.
There's nothing here for them.
My daughter lives in Everson. That's way smaller than Kingston.
Well, I think that one of the things that is important for all of us to understand is that Kitsap County has designated the Kingston area as a transit hub. And the other part of the factor is that we are an urban growth area, and there's no way that that's going to change. The other thing that will probably happen down the road is that the county also, in these unincorporated urban growth areas, are going to really take a look, and we're going to probably look at incorporation at some point and becoming an actual city instead of a town. So it's just absolutely inevitable that it's going to happen. It's growth management. And so we want to be able to understand how, you know, the port can become a visionary in relation to growth management, because it is coming, it's on the way, it is going to happen. So these things are inevitable. We'd like to be able to provide the picture of one thing that is going to be important for us to create a town that we like and that we can continue to enjoy.
Tim. Thank you,
Steve. I'd like to address the dwindling crowd. Can you look,
Tim.
My name's Tim Davis, and my bride and I have lived here for 5 years, and we love this place immensely. I'm a member at large of the KCAC, chair of the Transportation Committee, and three things I'd like to address. The hotel, we say, if we build it, will they come? Well, our daughter's going to be married. Here, one example, one family. Our daughter's going to be married in a few weeks. We're spreading family all over Airbnbs, all over Kingston, to try to find places for family to stay.
And then in hotels in Paulsville.
Hotels in Paulsville. We have a friend who's coming to visit, six people from Texas, and they're going to stop at our place on their way through to Port Angeles. Where should we stay? I'm Googling hotels in Bainbridge Island and Paulsville for our friends. Now, this is one example, but one thing that's not been brought up is we're going to, as our wood builds out, we're going to double our population. So there's all these other families that are going to be looking for guests, space for guests. Whether we like our wood or not, it's here, it's coming. But they're going to be looking for hotel rooms. And then lastly, the restaurant. I respect the views of conflicting views of the restaurant, but Trish and I, on occasion, we love the Owl House, but you need variety. And we'll walk on the ferry, we'll go over to Salt and Iron in Edmonds. And it's a great restaurant. It's very good. But imagine sitting on that deck in the summer under those umbrellas and eating out with this expansive, beautiful view of our harbor. I imagine it flipping. The people are going to sit in Edmonds are going to say, let's walk on and let's go have a meal at this property. Anybody that follows me on Facebook, you know that I'm a bit of an advocate for this, and I'm a Kingston ambassador. But you all have done a great job. The last thing is, they're very passionate, they're very considerate about what this end look is going to be. You could go as far as start to build this, I'm not saying you will, but without having that final design elevation finished. And they're looking for input. Everybody's looking for input as to what this should look like. Should it be a Nantucket type of waterfront setting? should be this kind of, and this is very contemporary, but I'm not sure it's Kingston. What is Kingston? We're not sure, but
it's not that.
I would say build it. So thank you. Thank you. Great work.
Tim.
One more thing. There's one common word tonight, and that's restaurant. Everybody wants more restaurants here, so maybe make these buildings more restaurant ready. I designed a lot of restaurants for Ethan Stoll. He's a big restaurateur in Seattle, and I know a lot about restaurant design and what it takes to put a restaurant there. So the more we can do to make it restaurant ready, you know, we'll get more restaurants.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you.
Tanya?
I want to add to what Tim said. So we have two casinos here for the Eastern Tribes, and they built hotels. I don't know, I have vacation rentals across the street here. In the summer, my two properties are.
We got housing, by the way, if you call them.
But in the summer months, they're booked out. I've got people coming, not even from Washington, but most of my guests are coming from Canada. They're coming from Texas. They're coming from Florida. And they come back again and again and again. They're most often grandparents who are bringing their adult children and their grandchildren. And they love Kingston. They find things to do. Even though we who live here say there's not a lot to do, in the summer, they definitely find things to do. But we do have two tribes that have casinos that have hotels. The people that are staying at my properties will say, gosh, you know, the room rates are pretty high, or I can't get a room there. Mm-hmm. Those properties are busy, even in the off season. So in terms of the need for a hotel and whether it will have occupancy, absolutely. But like Greg said, the market will decide. If we're talking to hoteliers, we're talking to restaurateurs, you know, we can debate this all night, we can debate it, you know, for 6 more months. But the question is, if you put it out, if you shop it out, what are they going to say? They're the ones who are going to know the numbers, and that's the answer. People don't want a tax burden. I think you've heard that from them, like you said, you can't really dump that on the people in the community anyway. You know, there may be some funding that you get from tax purposes, but it won't be a lot. It looks like you might be looking for private investors like bonds and things like that. And that gives people in the community to put their confidence in. The Village Green, again, it was a public-private partnership, but there were no investors that own a part of this building. This is truly a public building. And for some of those people, they may feel as warm and excited about Kingston, or, you know, I have adult children now, but we have 5 kids, and our youngest is just graduating from Kingston High School. We came here for the community, we came here for the schools. We love it. I can only hope that my kids come back here. But I do agree that we need more things to do to make sure my kids do for that.
Just look around. There's nobody under 40 here.
Yeah, it's true. And every
day, I'm 42.
It's a shame if that guy
But I would say if you're gonna do the hotel,
hang on, folks. Hang on.
Chew on from the first meeting and definitely from this meeting. I think we all appreciate every single word. Thank you.
Thank you all for coming.
I'll make a motion to adjourn at 8:35.
I'll second that.
Not selfish at all.